Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in. And so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced, and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And you know, there's a lot of people that homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And you know, all they need is a simple shelter. You know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it. And it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200. And it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so an even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you. And uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath the seat and bed is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see, okay? So there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2-foot by 4-foot cushions. There's 3 of these cushions that become your bed. Or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide. And now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you need to get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed too. So good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6 foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually sit side by side on this couch, or you can pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now, it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction. and then your casters attach to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing, and the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has, this back platform is 2 foot 6 inches wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1 foot 9 inch wide platforms that can be raised up, and as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or a workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. Takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down. The door open so you can kind of get a peek inside here.
Okay, we're on holiday hours. Instead of 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, that's when we traditionally do blog talk thing for not, well, 10 years, not going to let 10 years. But we're trying out a holiday schedule for this month, December, of 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So these are just holiday hours. Then January 1st, we're back up to 10:30 a.m. Okay, today's podcast, which is will be brief, I'm not going to keep on about 15 minutes or so. I got it titled 500 Orders, Business Math Problems. Building something would be the easy part, but I have noticed over the years that you've had some very good craftsmen, I'll put it that way, craftsmen that made a very good custom-made, tiny house. But then they went bankrupt or they went out of business. All right. And, craftsmanship and business or the way a business operates are two different skill sets. And what I found as a common denominator, because I ran across one of my favorite YouTubers, Angela Jasmina. She's a seamstress, and she and her husband have a home-based business out of Greenbelt, Maryland. They do over $1 million a year making children's clothes, for toddlers, little kids. And I ran across a video that they did yesterday where they fulfilled, that was in their family business, 500 orders in a weekend. Now, there's another guy, now he builds tiny houses, and he got within an hour 100 plus orders for tiny homes. Now, of course, probably about two-thirds of those didn't follow through or whatever. But so I said, well, you know what, let's reverse engineer this. Let's take a look at the ordering process, which is good, but it's not the whole thing to fulfillment. So, by reverse engineering, before we get into it, let's say we're beta building. We need to beta build order or fulfillment process, which includes order intake. So we're not going to do all this because we got 12 more minutes left. I'm sticking to a time frame of a solid 15 minutes. Total will be 30 minutes in all because I did play something to start. But I don't want to keep them on because it's the holidays. All right. So, and let's just put it this way. I'm just putting this out here, planting the seed, and then we can hash it through or flush it through what's today? Is today Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday.
All right, we can flush it through tomorrow. All right, I'm just throwing this out there. You know, what do you need to have in place? Because you need to have this in place before you go online, go live, do a live radio broadcast, what have you. You need to have these things figured out in the fulfillment process. So, you know, if you had 100 orders for widgets in 1 hour, I mean, how many people do you need to handle 100? That's going to be difficult or very difficult for one person to interact with 100 people. All right. Second business math problem, and I'm just planting a seed here. We'll flush it out tomorrow. And I'll be working on it overnight. 500, like this couple, and I'll post their video on our Facebook page. They fulfilled 500 orders in a weekend. Now, many of those orders came through TikTok. And with TikTok, once you get an order in through TikTok, you've got to fulfill that order within 3 days, 72 hours. Okay, so, and everybody has a different widget. You know, so if our widget are doghouses, sheds, tiny houses, whatever, okay, if we get what time is it right now? It's 4:49 p.m. where I'm at, Eastern Standard Time. If you get an order at 4:59 or 4:50 on a Thursday, okay, let's say you took a deposit of $500 or whatever it might be, or somebody paid for a full order at 4:50 p.m., okay, the clock is ticking. Okay, what do you need to do? Like I say, TikTok has a policy. It's got to be fulfilled with it. In other words, shipped out or a person comes pick it up within 72 hours, 3 days. Let's see. So I figured we have the steps in place because one person can't handle it. Two people can't handle it. Okay. All right. When I just said the fulfillment in a 3-day turnaround, and it's probably the same with Amazon because I ordered something from Amazon once a month at least on average. And they fulfill that order within a day. I don't think they've gone past 3 days with anything I've ordered. Let's see. All right, so we need to reverse engineer. Now, I guess we can start off with one widget. Just want keep something simple. Okay, what do we need to do and have in place flowchart-wise? And I'll be looking at that overnight. So what do we need to do, fulfill it within 1 hour? And, yeah, I figure that'll be a good starting point. What do we need to do to have, you know, we take an order and then it can be fulfilled within 1 hour to up to 72 hours. Because, like I say, different people have different widgets. Delmar, you on the line with me. Anything you want to fill in before we – we got 7 minutes left, so.
Yeah, well, actually, as you're saying, the most successful companies have their already worked out. In the case of Amazon, that stuff in the warehouse, or, as I was just on the website here to say, when I clicked on the item, it told me, immediately they're sold out. So they know their inventory, they know their stock, and they don't get stuck with stuff that they can't fulfill because If they can't fulfill, they let the buyer know immediately, we don't have that product, because they gave me a choice to click on another option. They'll notify when we get it back in stock. So anyway, a lot of planning, and that's the secret right there. Again, say plan it, be prepared, and communicate with the customer. And usually, if you can't fulfill the order, keep the person informed. Don't keep their money without their agreement. So yeah, there all that can be worked out. Nothing new on that.
Right, right. I agree with you. Because people, when they pay that money, they want whatever their product and service is as soon as possible. McDonald's, before they even ran into Ray Kroc, they were successful because they put together a system using teenagers. Once they placed that order could be fulfilled and in that customer's hand on the way out the door to eat it. Within, I don't know, maybe I had to get the exact number. But I would say as many times as I've been to McDonald's, I 2 minutes. You know, another example is, let's say you go to the finest steakhouse in town and for a sit-down meal. And, you know, when people come in hungry, they don't want to wait an hour. But when you go into that steakhouse, typically when you sit down, there's bread to eat, you know. So people have bread, then the waiter will come out and take orders for salads or what have you, or entrees, or appetizers, appetizers. So you got the bread, you got the salad, and I guess the appetizer will go, that can be included with the salad. And that could, I mean, so the customer is eating already. So they have it set up where, okay, while they're waiting, the entree might take 20, 25 minutes to come out to you. Okay. But, you know, but people, as long as they're chomping on something, with the appetizers, the salad, I mean the soup, the salad, the bread, and man, you know what? There have been days when I've gone in a red, I haven't been done in a while, where if I went to Red Lobster someplace like that, man, give me those, like those biscuits they got, man, those biscuits are off the chain. They're off the hook. They're good. Give me them biscuits and the salad, I'm good without ordering an entree. So, but the thing is, they have something ready to go. So, because customers typically do not like to wait. So, I figured we may as well organize this with a flow chart and then get the right people in place and do some beta builds with an ordering system before we, go with full steam ahead. So, we'll be back tomorrow. I just wanted to put that out there so you guys can marinate on it for the night. And we'll be back here tomorrow on holiday hours.
Yeah, okay.
Not 10:30 a.m., but 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, yes, sir.
I ordered a product, and the feedback got through email. They told me the delivery date between the 13th and 21st. If it's after 21st, they're going to give me $5 back. How about that? If it's later than the day, tell me, they're going to credit me $5 back to my account. That's interesting.
All right. Well, that's good, too.
Yeah.
That's very good, too. All right.
So they have a sense for getting it to you, and you have a kind of comfort zone. If it don't make it, at least you don't pay the full price. So $5 back on what I pay for, that's okay for the next purchase, whatever. So, interesting things that they have out there to deal with that time concept.
Well, we need to put that out there. That's just like when FedEx was really getting out there, guaranteed delivery by 10:30 the next morning. I know Domino's had delivery within 30 minutes or free. What was FedEx's original promise?
That was it. 10:30 was the first prompt. That's right.
10:30. Now, was it, if they didn't deliver on time, was it free or what?
No, they just promised guaranteed. They, after they, there was no hit clause. They just did it. 10:30, by 10:30 the next day. That was just a problem.
Right. And, of course, and I'm a, matter of fact, we got a couple, well, a minute and a half left. FedEx, now explain how that system works. They're in Memphis, and I understand they everything, whether you mail it from, send it from, hold on, let me add a little bit more time on this. Whether that you send it from Seattle, Washington, or Bangor, Maine, it's going to be delivered by How does that work? I understand everything, no matter where you, where they intake the order, everything comes to Memphis. So what's that all, what's okay. the system called?
That was the original system. Memphis was a hub, like a hub on wheels. Everything
right.
came to Memphis and was rerouted and put on the other plane, go back out. That's not the case now. Now they have regional hubs, California, West Coast, East Coast. Everything does not come to Memphis anymore. They changed, but anyway, basically the idea the first was all the planes flew in, got to Memphis by, say, 1 o'clock in the morning, with 2 hours start time, the load back on the plane going out, say, by 4, and by 6 o'clock, the plane landed to the station, put on trucks, and they were delivered by 10:30 the next morning. That was the old system. That was the only system they had. But now, like I say, it's regionalized, so where they only send the freight as far as they need to go. Of course, they have trucks now that do freight. Everything is not phone now. Some stuff is put in ground operation. So a lot more options now, but again, they got the system down where they do what they promise. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've always gotten stuff from them on time. Now, what if somebody wanted something to go, whether it's going to London, England, or Russia, everything ran through Memphis.
And that used to be the case. Here again, now regional, if you're in California, out there on the East Coast, West Coast, it's not going to come to Memphis. That plane
They're regional hubs now.
Right, regional hubs, that's right. So they got all the appropriate, and remember the package has to be picked up by FedEx or taken to FedEx by a certain hour. And that's not an all-night thing. It's a cutoff time. You
right.
want to be in Hong Kong tomorrow, you got to have it, they have to have it in their possession by a certain time to process to get it delivered in Hong Kong tomorrow. And they will. But you have to follow their timeline. And when that package
right.
is in what they call the system, and then they start processing it for the delivery the next day.
Okay. Now, they also have, not only the next day, but, if you wanted it, because last time I've gone in there, last few times, because I typically go in there maybe once a month or so, and I go for it, what's the lowest rate? So the lowest rate ground might be $9 or $11, depends on where it goes here in Florida. They'll tell you it'll be delivered on like 3 or 4 days out. They'll give you an exact date.
Right.
And a window of time in which it'll be delivered on that date.
Exactly right.
So that works for me as well. So, all right, well, that's it for today because we ran a little bit over time on that because I wanted to keep these brief for holidays. But tomorrow we're going to pick up to see what we can flow chart, what we need to have in place to fulfill something within 1 hour to a weekend. Because, like I say, and I'll post that video online too. We have this husband and wife couple. They fulfilled 500 orders because they actually make the clothes in their basement. And then after they make them, first thing they have the materials there to make the, you know, to immediately go to work on the order. That's first thing. They had the machines in their home.
They can have it down like him before it did the automobile.
Right.
You know exactly how many minutes it takes to do everything to turn that product out, pack, ship, everything. Get that, they got they already down.
Right. Exactly.
Back to back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they've got it down. So, all right, so we'll apply it to what we're going to do tomorrow. On that note, everyone have a good and safe holiday evening. See you tomorrow at the same time for Holiday Hours.